Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
We are in the final message on a series we're doing called Fresh Air, and we've been looking at the theme of building the inner man. And one of our key verses has been Ephesians 3:16. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. If you don't, it will be on the screen behind me. But it says this, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So we've been talking about the inner man, the inner being. And so week one, you know, I talked about the 101s of Christianity. I talked about feeding on God's word, and I talked about obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. Who knows? That's a great place to start. Read your Bible and be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Last week, we had Pastor Miles here. He brought a message, a great message, talking about some workouts that we need to do as Christians, some spiritual workouts. We're all familiar with going to the gym. Well, there's some spiritual workouts that we can do as well. He talked about things like this, the isolated workout, the dependence workout, and the obedience workout. And you can jump onto our website, elevationchurch.com.au, to listen to those. They were great messages. Let's just pray. God, I thank you for our time together. Pray that for the time we have together, we would just be so aware of your presence, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak into the hearts and minds of men and women here today. And God, that we would really hear from you in this place. And we say, amen. Turn with me to Luke 3. We're going to get straight this morning. Luke 3, verse 21 says this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. We see in this passage of scripture that Jesus comes before John the Baptist. He gets baptized along with a lot of other people. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, anoints him for the ministry that he is about to start. The Holy Spirit comes on him in anointing and in calling and in setting apart. He receives power. And today I want to say, church, I want to say to you that when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you accepted him and what he did on the cross for your sins, the Holy Spirit came into your life. The Holy Spirit descended upon you. He infilled you. And you've been set apart. You've been called. You've been anointed just like Jesus was. You have received power. And maybe today you're here and there's never been a time in your life where you've acknowledged Jesus in that way, where you've said to him, thank you for what you did on the cross. I just want to say, it is so great that you are here with us this morning. We're so fantastic that you're here. But I want to give you an opportunity at the end of my message to maybe say, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to invite him into my life. And so what happens as we follow Jesus and we read our Bible and we're obeying the word of the Holy Spirit and we're doing these spiritual workouts that we've been talking about, you're building your inner man. You're strengthening yourself spiritually in God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And it's you're growing stronger and it's going great. But what will happen is, something will happen along the way. There's something that will come as you're journeying in your life, as you're building stronger, that you need to be aware of. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. It continues on. We're going across to Matthew 4, but this is immediately after that verse we just saw. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You know, we've just been doing 2 weeks of prayer and fasting, and some of us are hungry, yeah? Some of us are starving. Imagine 40 days and 40 nights Jesus has been doing this. But you can imagine he's been in this place where he's communing with his Father. He's meeting with God. The Holy Spirit is upon him. He's quite possibly in this place of like a spiritual high. You know, like we go along, we have a great Sunday worship service, or we go along to a life group, we have a great meeting, and it's just like, it's fantastic. We feel the presence of God, we feel his anointing on our lives, and we're on this spiritual high. The Bible says, then, dot, 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 the devil. Then the devil. church, let me tell you something. When you're in these places, that's how Satan works. Spiritual highs are often followed by spiritual lows. And as you grow your inner man, you are going to find that you will face some opposition in your life. You will face some spiritual opposition from your enemy, the devil. And for some of you, you might be going through that right now. Maybe life's been going great. 2 weeks of prayer and fasting. I've been meeting with God, or marriage is prospering, or business is going well, or the kids are getting good grades in school and all these things. And then, bam, out of the middle of nowhere, all hell breaks loose. The floor just falls out from underneath you. Why is that? It's because we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. It says in John 10:10, the thief, talking about the devil, comes to steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. So when these things happen, do not be surprised. It's the enemy coming against you, trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And here's an interesting thought for us. Sometimes we think that opposition is bad, but maybe if you're not experiencing any opposition in the spirit realm, maybe it's because there's nothing happening in your life. Maybe it's because you're just going along, maybe in the same direction that he wants you to go. I'll leave that thought with you. Matthew 4:3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. If, this is one of Satan's greatest tactics. He uses the word if. He plants questions. He makes you think about things. He says, if. The devil asks Jesus, he says, if you're really the Son of God, if, come on, are you really Jesus? Are you the Son of God? And if you are the Son of God, prove it. Prove it, Jesus. Prove it to me. Prove it to the people around you. Take these stones and turn them into bread. It's so interesting that the devil says, Jesus, asking him, are you the Son of God? A couple of scripture verses previously, God has actually said in an audible voice from heaven, you are my son. You are my son. And so it's interesting that that's what happened. I want to talk about some ways that the devil tempts us today. So how does the devil tempt us? If you're taking notes, write these down. Number one, he tempts us to fill a real appetite a wrong way. Fill a real appetite a wrong way. Jesus, he's just been out 40 days and 40 nights. He's been fasting. He's just been drinking water. He's been doing those things. You better believe he's hungry. I mean, he was God, but he was still human as well. He's in a physical body. He was hungry. And what he was doing was amazing. It was very real. It was very God-centered. It was a very noble reason to be hungry because of all the fasting he was doing. But what happens is the devil comes along and tries to fill an appetite that we have. See, a lot of the temptations we face aren't because we're out of God's will, but it's because we're right in the middle of God's will. The devil tempts us. And so the devil tempts Jesus, not with booze or boobs, but with bread. Bread, the very thing that Jesus wants at that moment. It is so real to Jesus. All those other things, but food is what he wanted. The very thing that Jesus needed. So how does that play out for us? It's like this. He says things like this. You've been single way too long. You're lonely. God knows about you. Just take matters in your own hands. Just go do that relationship that you know maybe is not right. He says things like this. You need to make more money. The only way you can do that is if you work harder, work longer, sacrifice your relationship with your kids or your wife or your husband. He says things like this. No one appreciates you here. In fact, you're being used, you're being overlooked. Go somewhere else, take time away, or someone else will look after you. He says things like, you're unhappy. Go on, just take another drink. Just pop another pill. Just do that thing. You'll feel a lot better. You'll mask the pain. He says things like, everyone else at uni is partying hard. Long time ago for me, uni, let me tell you that. Party hard. Man, if you want to fit in, you got to do it too. You need to do it as well. See, temptation is always a test of your faith, not just self-control. It's a test of your faith and where your trust is. Confidence that God can come through you. That's tempted. your confidence that he wants to come through for you. He tempts you in that area. He's questioning you. That your confidence that he will come through you. All of that is at stake when the devil is tempting you. When those temptations come in our lives. Continues on into verse 4 of chapter 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Every word that comes from the mouth of God." I love the response of Jesus. What does he do? He goes to the Bible. He goes to the Word of God. He goes to Scripture. And I want to encourage you in your life, and I say this often, you need to read your Bible so that when opposition comes in your life, you've got something to stand on and to respond with, just like Jesus. He quotes a passage from Deuteronomy where Israel, they're wandering the wilderness, and God says, "You shall live by bread alone, but by the Word of God." The Word of God. And so Jesus, he says to Satan, you know, there's something more important to me at this moment than bread. There's something more important to me than food. And that is my fellowship with God, my relationship with God. He says, there's something more sustaining to me than physical food. That what's sustaining to me is God's declaration that I am his son. Today you need to know you are a son and of the Lord Most High. He says, "I declare you are my son. You are my daughter." That's more important than food. He says that physical bread is good. Come on, food is good. God made food. It's good. There's nothing wrong with it. Physical food is good, but my soul finds its completion in God. There's a spiritual food that I get. You're not a physical food. And then he says, Jesus is saying, one word from God can excel all my anxieties and all my fears. One word from God, one word from the Holy Spirit, just speaking into your life, can expel the anxieties and fears that you might carry in life. Matthew 4 and 6, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God,'" he says it again, "'if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" The devil comes again at Jesus, and he's questioning him, come on, are you really Son of God? Are you really God's Son? Jesus hasn't started his ministry yet. He hasn't had all the miracles. He hasn't had all the signs and wonders. He doesn't have any followers. He's questioning him. The devil is trying to take Jesus out before he enters into the start of his ministry. And maybe today, that's what he's trying to do in your life. Maybe God has you positioned and primed in a place where he's going to take you to a next level, but these questions, these accusations might come your way, try and stop you before you get started. The devil says, "Are you really the Son of God? If you are, just jump off this temple. It's okay. You won't be harmed. God will send his angels to rescue you." The second way he tempts us is to manipulate God and people with a method of God. It's interesting what the devil does here. If you go to Psalms 91, verse 11, read this: "For he has given his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone." The devil quotes scripture to try to get Jesus to do something that Jesus knows he shouldn't do. The devil, our enemy, our adversary, he knows the Bible. And he will use it to try to manipulate you or to do things that are outside the will of God. And most of us have done something similar to this. We make a decision, we say something, we buy something, we do something, whatever it might be, and try to justify, we try to use God as leverage. Well, God told me to do this, or positive it was God's will for my life to do this thing. And there's a temptation to presume and assume that God will act on our behalf regardless of what we do. There's a presumption of the devil that if Jesus steps off that temple to test God, that God will rescue him. And you know, sometimes we do that in our own lives. I know for myself, many years ago, I was in an opportunity where I had a chance to make an investment. I had a business opportunity, and then there was an investment opportunity. And I thought God and prayed about it. And then what happened was the business opportunity fell through. And so I made the presumption and the assumption that that was God answering my prayer. So if that opportunity fell through, God must be saying, pursue the other opportunity. So pursue the investment. It was an investment in this private investment fund. And so what I did was, is I said, wow, that's God answering my prayer. Closing one door and leaving the other door open. And so rather than seeking wise counsel, rather than delving a little bit further into it and speaking to other people who had more wisdom than me in this area, I went ahead and invested in this opportunity. Great opportunity. Amazing opportunity. It's going to be, you know, so, so great. I was going to be able to tithe so much money to God and do all those things. And so I went ahead with it. Well, what I thought was going to be an amazing blessing from God was a terrible, terrible investment. And we're talking a significant amount of money here. You know, $10 at least. No, a lot more than that. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible investment. And what I assumed was that God giving me an opportunity was instead really me just trying to manipulate the situation. I wanted to do it. I saw what was happening in other people's lives. I wanted to be able to achieve what they were doing, to keep up with what they were doing. And as Christians, we've been called to cooperate with God, not manipulate God. See, in tempting Jesus, the devil is saying to Jesus, just do whatever you want, Jesus. It's okay. God will look after you. God will protect you. God will keep you safe. And I truly believe that the promises of God are there for us when we need them. But if we are relying on the promises of God as a manipulation for us to live a life or for us to do decisions or for us to make choices in our life that are wrong, what we are doing is trying to coerce God into fulfilling his promises. And I want to tell you today, that is wrong. That is a wrong way for us to live as Christians, to try to manipulate God. Jesus turns around again in verse 7 and he says, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So the devil quoting scripture to Jesus, and Jesus throws scripture right back at him. He puts it in his face and says, hey, no devil. It actually says in the Bible, don't try to corner God. Don't try to manipulate God to say, hey, I'm doing all this. Now you have to come through. My life's a mess because I made wrong choices. Now you've got to somehow come and help me. When I heard your Holy Spirit, that check in my heart saying, don't do that. You shouldn't do that, but I went ahead with it anyway. Jesus is saying, don't try and get God in your corner because of your presumptions and your assumptions. See, when we trust God, we say, I submit my desires, my plans to God's word, to God's ways, to God's will. But when we test God, we say God's word, God's will, and God's ways will submit to my plans. Will submit to my plans. Verse 8, verse 9. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these, I will give them to you. Fall down and worship me. Devil's at it again, another temptation of Christ. You know, third time's a charm. He's trying to tempt Jesus again. But it's so interesting this time, he doesn't ask him if you are the Son of God. Have you ever noticed that? He doesn't say to him, if you are the Son of God. He totally skips over that because he knows now that Jesus knows who Jesus is. And maybe some of us are here today and we don't know who we are. We don't realize that we're more than just a person. If we receive Jesus, there is something inside of us that makes us more than overcomers, that makes us more than just this physical body. There's a connection in our spirit with God, and we're sons and daughters of God. And so he skips over asking Jesus if he is Jesus, because he knows that Jesus knows that he is Jesus. Because when you truly know you are a son or daughter of God, the devil can no longer use that accusation in your life. He can no longer use that to accuse you, to do those things in your life, to tempt your life as the keys come. That'd be great. The third way the devil tempts us is to sacrifice what's important for what's immediate. To sacrifice what's important for what's immediate. Jesus, if you will set aside just for a moment what you know is right. You know that there's a ministry you're about to start and there's going to be a path that you take, and you've obviously got some plan. The devil would not have known necessarily what it was. I know you've got some plan to do, but if you will just put that aside just for a moment, all that you know is right, I will give you all of this. All these kingdoms. I'm going to give them to you, Jesus. I will give you more authority. All you have to do is bow down and worship me. It only needs to take 5 seconds, Jesus. Just bow your knee, worship me. And we read Matthew 4 and 9, and I think sometimes we don't understand what's going on here. We kind of gloss over the importance of what the devil is tempting Jesus with. What he is tempting Jesus with is exactly why Jesus came to the world. He came to bring the kingdoms of the world into relationship with God. He came to bring the kingdoms of the world to Jesus. And the devil is promising Jesus, I will give you the kingdoms. Exactly what you wanted, exactly why you come to earth. See, the kingdoms of this earth were exactly what Jesus had come for, exactly why God had sent Jesus to this world, to save a world and bring them back into relationship with him. And Jesus, he comes for the kings of this earth. He comes for you. He comes for me. He comes for the person sitting beside you. He comes for the person in your workplace, the person on the train, that person you used to play footy with at high school, whatever. He comes for all these people, and the devil is offering him a chance. You just got to take a shortcut. Just put all that aside. Skip the pain. Skip all those things. Just bow before me. You can have it right now. And there's a temptation to temporarily abandon what we know is true for the sake of progress. You know, we say, I know that I got to go through all these steps, but if I can find a shortcut, if I can find a way to get out of that, I mean, people, wouldn't it be great if you could take a pill and you just looked amazing? Wouldn't it be great if you could just, like, I don't know, tick a couple of tick boxes and then your bank account for some is magically filled up every week? You know, we want these shortcuts. But, you know, the temptation to take a shortcut to things that we think we are entitled to. And at some point in your life, if it hasn't happened already, there will be an opportunity in your life. If you're young here today, I want you to hear this. Even if you're old, there will be an opportunity at some point in your life to take a shortcut, to take a giant leap in your career or your relationship or whatever it might be. But what you got to do is you got to check something at the door. You got to leave something at the door, a conviction, a value, something you know that God stands for. You got to put that aside, your convictions, your morality, your integrity, and just put it aside. And in order to take this next step, I just got to do that. And we justify and we think to ourselves, I'm not abandoning my convictions. I'm just temporarily putting this aside. I'll pick it up. I'll come back. I'll pick it up again sometime. Once it's all done, I'll readopt those beliefs that I have. I'll readopt those things that I believe in, that I know that God has put in my heart. And once I get through this financial mess, then I'll give lots of money. Once I've secured this relationship, I'll be back at church. Once I get that promotion, I'll spend more time with my family. And there's always the temptation to take shortcuts to achieve. It's the temptation to shortcut and miss the pain that may lay ahead. Verse 10, then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Come on. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall serve. I wonder today, what are you worshiping? I wonder what you're serving in your life. Is God in that place of prominence? Is God in that place of importance? Is he on the throne of your life? You know what Jesus wanted more than all the kingdoms on the earth? He wanted unbroken fellowship with God. He knew if he bowed down to Satan, his relationship with God would be gone. He wouldn't be able to pick that up. He knew that there'd be an eternal outcome from that reason. And by not bowing down to Satan, what does Jesus end up getting? He gets both. He goes to the cross. He dies for our sins. He's risen again in 3 days. He achieves his mission to save you, to save me, and he keeps his relationship with God the Father. He keeps his relationship with God the Father. And do you know what you get when you abandon fellowship with God for what's immediate? You get neither. You don't end up getting what you want. You feel guilty, you feel the condemnation, and you feel the separation from God. It's the guy that gets offered a job that is great pay, great benefits, fantastic company, but it means uprooting his family from his friends and family and church that he loves. It's like the church I'm in doesn't recognize my gift, but there's another church down the road. I'm going to go there, and then they don't recognize my gift. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. It's really, really hot. She doesn't date anyone. She doesn't date anyone. She told me that she likes me, but, you know, she's not a Christian. Maybe I'm going to be the one that leads her to Jesus. Maybe I'm the one, the witness that she needs in your life. And I want to ask you today, is your relationship with God worth the compromise? Is your relationship with God worth putting aside those things that you know? For Jesus, it wasn't. He knew that nothing was of greater than relationship with the Father. Now see, when we make decisions to say no to opportunities and temptations that seem so, so good, I mean, just think about when you're fasting. How good do those chips in the cupboard look? They look so, so good. Those kettle chilies chips, those Pascal's marshmallows, they look so, so good. But when you say no because you don't want to break the fellowship that you have with God, you find out who you really are and whose you really are. And you might think to yourself, oh, come on, like, it's just a small thing. Let me tell you something. If you know in your heart, and there's a conviction from the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you still go against that conviction, sooner or later, there's going to come a time in your life where you will no longer feel that conviction in your heart. You know why? Because that relationship with God and your spirit, it's broken. There's no connection there anymore. Matthew 20:18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is when Jesus comes back. The disciples meet him after the cross. He says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. You know that the devil was offering authority on earth, but God the Father says, hey, Jesus, now you've done the job. You've sacrificed. You died on the cross. I'm giving you authority not only on earth, I'm giving you in heaven as well. And he says to him, you know, this is the authority I'm giving you. And it's not authority given by any government. It's not authority given by any manager. It's not authority given by the devil. It's the authority given by the Lord Most High, creator of the universe, the ultimate, all-powerful, the greatest power that there is, God the Father. And so the devil, he tempts us to fill a real appetite a wrong way, to manipulate God and people with a method of God, to sacrifice what's important for what's immediate. It continues on into verse 14. You know, usually we sort of end the scriptures there, but it continues on. Finish the preacher, but it continues on into verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, this is Luke 4, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Following this encounter with the devil, Jesus begins his ministry. He goes out from there and he begins his ministry to preach the good news, to proclaim freedom to the lost, to... He does that part where he gets out the scripture verse of Isaiah and he says, hey, I've come. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's called me to set free the chain, to heal the brokenhearted. He goes and talks about all those things, and then he closes Isaiah and he says, today that scripture has been fulfilled. That's me. I've come to bring good news because the Spirit of God is upon him. See, he goes from the encounter with the devil and begins his ministry. And God's plan for you is on the other side of the devil's temptation. You better believe that the temptation that you may face in your life, and I'm talking about those daily temptations, those temptations that have been part of your life for a long time. I'm talking those temptations that you battle against, that one temptation, those two temptations that are just a battle in your life. You better believe that those temptations you're facing is because the devil's trying to distract you. He's trying to keep you from God's plan for your life. He's trying to keep you from the purpose that God has for you. But if you will build your inner man through the power of the Holy Spirit within you and obedience to the Holy Spirit's voice and by feeding on God's word, you will get through the temptations in you face. You will get through them with God's power in your life. And out of facing and overcoming them out of facing those things, you will find yourself in a place that God wants you, a place where you will be spiritually strong. That's what we've been talking about, building your inner man, where you will be spiritually strong, but not just for yourself. You'll be spiritually strong for your family. You will be spiritually strong for your friends and those people that you love. You will be spiritually strong for your church. And what happens is that you, when you're strong, you declare into the spirit realm around you. You declare God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy. And you declare in your spirit connects with God and it says into the atmosphere around my life, I declare right now, regardless of what I might be facing, what's going on in my kids' lives, what's happening in the workplace, I declare God is good. I speak into the atmosphere. I say, devil, I push back. It's what you might be trying to say in my mind because I know that I have a God who cares for me. I know that I have a God who died for me. I have a God who sent His Holy Spirit to empower me, to infill me. I know. And I can be strong, not just for me, but the world around me. There's a spiritual weight you carry. And today, more than ever, the world, your world, my world, our church, the church in general, we need people who have built their spiritual man in God's Word and the Holy Spirit to stand up and say, hey, I'm prepared to carry some spiritual weight. I'm prepared to be a man, a woman of God. I'm prepared to stand up and say, count me in. I want to do things for Jesus. I want to be that spiritual intercessor for someone else. Maybe someone else is going through something. They don't have the strength inside themselves, but you can say, God, come on, move in that person's life. Move in this situation. Move in this place. There's a spiritual weight you carry because you've built your inner man. Ephesians 6:10. I'm going to finish with this as you close your eyes. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. I just want to encourage us this morning in this place as we've just spent these last 3 weeks talking about building the inner man. I just want to say to you today, come on. Come on, God is calling each and every one of us.